Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel on the entire internet. We have a busy docket today, so let's get right to it. First, disclosures in the Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell matters. Second, Letitia Stauch. We should have the competency evaluation soon. Third, Tom Girardi. You hate to see a legend go out this way. Fourth, the Wisconsin pharmacist accused of spoiling COVID-19 vaccines has had his license suspended. Fifth, Massimo Giannulli wants to go home. Another federal execution. A criminal law first. A story about a hero. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day and a recap of our contestants for the week. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. Thank you for joining us today. Now, if you haven't done so, please hit that subscribe button, hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. And as always, leave me a comment below. As I stated in the introduction, we have a very full docket, so let's get to it. All right. Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell matters. You know, you can't go more than a couple of days without talking about this. But as you may recall, several weeks ago, the defense basically said, hey, here's some further discovery requests. And it came up during the hearing the other week regarding responses that had not been complied with. Well, Mr. Wood has responded and basically says, hey, in regards to the question of any statements that may be in existence that you intend to introduce a trial, let me know about all those. Well, Mr. Wood says, everything that we are going to use are contained in the police reports, the recordings of officers' body and or dash cameras, interview recordings, and defendants' jail phone calls and visits, all of which have either been previously provided or attached here too. Nice try, defense, trying to get very specific because there's probably a lot of them. And they want to know, okay, you've given me probably hundreds of phone calls. I don't have time to go through and sit and listen to all of them. Can you tell me which ones they were? Which ones you intend to use? Yeah. If you hadn't maybe been so mean to the district attorney and maintained a good working relationship, he probably would have said, I intend to use jail call number, 10, 20, 30. But no. Now that you've been a complete jerk to him, accused him of being unethical and a liar, you've received everything. Go find it. Once again, statements that you intend to introduce as it relates to the co-defendant. Same response. Everything's been turned over. It's all on body cam videos, interviews, recordings, and jail calls. Go look for it. Defendants, as it relates to prior records, defendants' prior records have either been provided or are attached. Documents and tangible objects. Says, hey, defense counsel, I'm not going to tell you what I intend to use at trial just yet, but feel free to have your investigator coordinate with the Madison County Prosecutor's Office and law enforcement, and we'll let you go inspect anything in evidence. The defense can do that. You do that all the time in cases of great significance. The reports of examination and tests, states, witnesses, expert witnesses, basically see addendums. Unfortunately, the public records aren't releasing the addendums, so we're not able to find out exactly what the reports are. But we do know, and I think this is also of interest, a woman by the name of Rhonda Harper, she is being endorsed by the prosecution to testify consistent with her rebuttal report regarding the unreliability, the defense anonymous survey memo. Okay, we haven't seen the anonymous survey memo, but her report has already been provided to defense counsel and her curriculum vitae is attached as well. As we've mentioned before, curriculum vitae is a fancy word for resume, but when you become an expert witness, your resume becomes a curriculum vitae. What we can glean from Ms. Harper's CV here is that she's been retained previously by law firms to provide consulting research and expert witness services in cases involving the Lanham Act trademark, trade dress, patent, surveys, defamation, commercial reasonableness, licensing, retail merchandising, public relations, surveys, misleading advertising, likelihood of confusion. You get the drift. Criminal and civil. Why would she be testifying here? Well, I think what we can glean from this particular disclosure is that the defense has conducted a survey. Why would they conduct a survey? Well, when they filed their motion for a change of venue to move it out of Madison and or Rexburg there, you want to be able to say, we are not going to be able to conduct a fair trial. So you send people out into the city, into the town, you ask them, have you formed opinions as it relates to this particular case? And if they say yes or no, then you go from there. Now, normally you like to get the people that you've talked to about that, but they may not be completely truthful and accurate if they have to give their names. So my guess is that Ms. Harper is there to testify that the way the question was worded was somewhat prejudicial to the prosecution, as well as the flaws in these types of analysis. Normally, in change of venue cases, you don't change the venue early on. Sometimes it happens. I had a case not long ago where the judge says, you guys aren't going to get a fair trial here. I'm going to move it within my same jurisdiction, just the county over. We brought in hundreds and hundreds of jurors in that particular case. We were able to find people. But normally you wait until the jury selection process, and in that process called voir dire, then you see if you can seat 12 impartial jurors. So this is clearly being disclosed for the motion for change of venue, which should be taking place soon. As you may recall, the court said, since we were bogged down by all of these other motions that took a couple of days that we were previously going to discuss the change of venue, let's reschedule that. Nothing has been set as of yet. Gets a little more complicated when you have to start dealing with expert witnesses, other schedule, particularly are they available? Can they appear in person? Can they appear via Zoom? Gets a little more complicated. We'll obviously continue to follow that case because that's the case that a lot of our viewers and subscribers are interested in watching. Now, next on the docket, Letitia Stauch. Remember her? That's right. The lady just down the road here in Colorado Springs, Colorado, accused of killing her stepson, Gannon Stauch. Well, one competency evaluation was completed and she was deemed to be competent. The defense requested a second competency evaluation. And early in December of last year, the defense said, hey, Judge, we need more money. Our expert needs more time to do the evaluation. He's had trouble getting into the jail because of all the COVID restrictions. They vacated the hearing date that was going to be set in early to mid January of this year so that the good doctor could, in fact, complete his evaluation. We should be expecting that evaluation shortly. Now, are they going to release it to us? No, they are not. However, as soon as we see what's on the docket, whether it's for further proceedings, i.e., is it scheduling for a competency evaluation hearing, or is it going to be set for a preliminary hearing, proof, evident, presumption, great. If they're set for a preliminary hearing, proof, evident, presumption, great hearing, that means that the second expert would have found Letitia Stauch competent to proceed. And then this case can get rolling from there. Next on the docket, Tom Girardi. You hate to see legends go out this particular way. Now, I have seen and heard Tom Girardi speak several times. It was particularly at some mass tort conventions for cases regarding, obviously, mass tort. And this man is a legend. He has tried cases for 40 years, close to 50 years. He is a legend. And when you hear him talk, he says how he got his start early on was trying cases. How? Criminal cases. Criminal lawyers make the best personal injury attorneys because you get out there and you know how to try a case. A lot of personal injury attorneys have never tried a case. Anyway, Tom Girardi, what is he best known for? He was the attorney that came in near the end of the movie in Aaron Brockovich and brought in some big heavy heat. They settled the case. And that's really, I think, why a lot of people knew his name. But before that, he was settling multi-million dollar, multi-billion dollar cases for years. Well, now he's got some big problems, including some potential criminal issues. A bankruptcy judge on Wednesday ordered Los Angeles firm of Girardi Keese and its founder, Cham Girardi, into Chapter 7 proceedings, leaving thousands of lawsuits on hold and now under the microscope of a bankruptcy trustee. Creditors filed an involuntary bankruptcy petition last month after a federal judge issued a $2 million contempt judgment against Girardi and his firm for not paying four clients in settlements over the Boeing's 2018 crash of the Lion Air 610 aircraft in Indonesia. Needless to say, the money for the client should have been in the trust account and they could have been paid. Clearly, there's been accounting irregularities. You may recall Michael Avenatti had very similar issues. When you get paid on a personal injury settlement, the money goes to the attorney. The attorney then needs to distribute the money. But when you have accounting irregularities like that, it's not good. Well, Mr. Girardi and his firm have a lot of cases. And so now the trustee is going to have to find new attorneys to take over these cases. For example, Girardi's firm represented 8,000 people of the 35,000 with medical and property claims associated with a 2015 blowout and gas leak in the Porter Ranch neighborhood in Los Angeles. There's a dispute regarding a $23 million settlement where funds were paid but apparently not distributed to a victim that Mr. Girardi represented. There's still outstanding settlements in the Las Vegas mass shooting that Mr. Girardi represented people for in that particular case. There apparently was settlements regarding a sexual assault on a cruise ship, as well as literally another 100 lawsuits that Girardi's firm is involved in one way or the other, where there may be money that can be sought for his clients and ultimately go to creditors as well if Mr. Girardi was going to be able to receive any portion of that to pay his bills. But the plot thickens. The brother of Tom Girardi has asked the judge to appoint him as guardian of his brother, asserting that the elderly lawyer is incompetent and unable to act for himself. Now, Tom Girardi's brother is a dentist and he resides in Seal Beach, and he told the bankruptcy judge in a petition Wednesday that his 81-year-old brother, like I said, famed for the case depicted in the movie Aaron Brockovich, did not understand the gravity of the legal and financial peril that he currently faces. It's alleged that he's misappropriated millions of dollars of money belonging to his law firm's clients and still hasn't paid creditors. He is also embroiled in a nasty divorce with his, I think, some 30-year younger wife, Real Housewife cast member Erica Jane. Robert Girardi, the brother, who's seeking to be named as the guardian, states that his brother has short-term memory loss and attempts to discuss how to respond to the pending bankruptcy case was unsuccessful. It's very, very sad to see a great attorney who was a great attorney go out this particular way. When I saw Mr. Girardi speak, it was probably 2 years ago, and he seemed sharp as a tack. But we all know as you get older, your cognitive ability can go down rather quickly. So sad case, but hopefully his clients can get paid and get the money that they deserve. And hopefully his creditors will have something left as well. Truly a sad case. Next on the docket, Steven Brandenburg, the Wisconsin pharmacist who was arrested for allowing more than 500 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine to spoil, guess what, has had his professional license suspended. Needless to say, like any professional where you have a license and you get involved in criminal activity, your license is going to be immediately suspended because obviously you've shown, or at least demonstrated preliminarily, that you are unable to exercise good judgment. Mr. Brandenburg did, in fact, state that he knew that he was leaving the vaccine out to spoil, but he had concerns regarding the safety of the vaccine. It's obviously unclear if he left out other vials of the vaccine and if people that have received shots from the spoiled vaccine. Mr. Brandenburg is going to have some trouble, and I would bet that his days as a pharmacist are rapidly coming to an end. If this week has a theme, it would be everybody wants to go home. That's right. Massimo Giannulli, Lori Loughlin's husband, who was sentenced to prison in regards to the wire fraud counts that he pled guilty to, wants to go home. He has been quarantined nearly the entire time that he has been in federal custody, even though he was sent to a low-level prison camp. The camp was put under quarantine conditions, and Mr. Giannulli has spent some 40% of his total sentence confined in solitary quarantine, despite the fact that he has tested negative. Mr. Giannulli's attorneys have filed an emergency motion with the court to have him removed from the minimum security camp and complete his prison sentence on an ankle monitor where he would be allowed to stay at home. According to attorneys for Mr. Giannulli, he tested negative every 2 weeks but was returned to solitary confinement because each time other inmates that reported to prison after arrival had tested positive, the facility put everyone in a quarantine lockdown. Everybody wants to go home when they're in jail. Next on the docket, another federal execution. Corey Johnson was executed last night. He was sentenced and the lethal injection for his penalty for murder of 7 people during his involvement in the drug trade in Richmond, Virginia, dating back to 1992, was the ultimate sentence. His crimes included shooting a rival drug dealer, the killing of a woman over a crack cocaine debt, and the shooting of a man suspected of helping police. Mr. Johnson became the 12th federal inmate to be put to death by the Federal Bureau of Prisons. In his final words, Johnson apologized for his crime, telling the family of those that he had killed, "I hope that you will find peace." He said that he had been blind and stupid and looking for shortcuts while he was on the streets, adding, "I am not the same man that I was." He paid tribute to his family, telling them that he had good role models and staff at the special confinement unit where he had been held. He also thanked his chaplain and minister and his legal team. His one complaint was his final meal. The pizza and strawberry shakes were wonderful, but he didn't get his jelly-filled donut. He asked, "What's with that? This should be fixed." Needless to say, there wasn't time to get him a jelly donut before he was put to death by lethal injection. His attorneys had filed for last-minute stays, but ultimately the Supreme Court gave the go-ahead for the execution to proceed. Next on the docket, a first in criminal law. That's right, a Los Angeles man pled guilty Thursday to a misdemeanor count after his drone crashed into a police helicopter, prompting an emergency landing, federal prosecutors alleged in their pleadings. This is believed to be the first criminal conviction for unsafe operation of an unmanned aircraft in the United States. Andrew Rene Hernandez, 22, pled guilty to a single count in the plea agreement. He admitted that he flew the drone just after midnight on September 18th because he was curious after hearing a police helicopter and sirens. The police helicopter with 2 officers inside was flying after a reported burglary at a nearby pharmacy. The pilot saw the drone and tried to avoid it, but it hit the bottom of the helicopter. The chopper made an emergency landing at the airport. The criminal complaint alleged, and the reason why probably this case was pursued so vigorously, is the fact that had the drone hit the main rotor, it could have caused the helicopter to go down in a fiery crash. Mr. Hernandez faces up to 1 year in prison, and he will be sentenced on April 12th. Prosecutors will recommend reductions in federal sentencing guidelines once the final pre-sentence investigation report is completed. So all of you drone flyers, be careful. Obviously, you can't go up to certain heights, and you have to be very cautious and don't interfere with emergency personnel ever. Before we talk about a hero, let's take a quick recess. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. You never know. It could prevent a very bad situation. We've had lots of people write in and say, Scott, I signed up. Maybe I was even a little skeptical, but I did it. And I found out the guy that I was beginning to date had charges for crimes against children. Thank God I checked him out. Go to crimetalksearch.com. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, a hero. And I mean it. We've all been in situations where things just don't feel right. Well, employees at a restaurant in Orlando, Florida called Mrs. Potato had kind of a weird feeling when a man and an 11-year-old boy sat down at the table. There was another child and another adult there. The father wouldn't allow the 11-year-old to order any food. The child had on a hoodie, a face mask, and glasses, but the waitstaff could see bruising on the child's temples, as well as scratches near his eyebrows. The server held up a sign out of view of the father, asked, did you need any help? And the child ultimately responded with some sort of gesture that says yes. And you can listen on the 911 call. The owner of the restaurant says, I'm not sure, what should I do? And I'm always surprised at how nonchalant the 911 operators are. I know they're supposed to keep the situation calm, but you would think they'd act with a little more sense of urgency. Needless to say, the police arrived. It turned out that the child had been the victim of abuse, where literally he had been strapped upside down to a door with ratchet straps on his ankles and neck. He had been tied to a moving dolly, hit with a wooden spoon, and denied food. Needless to say, he's now in the care of Child Protective Services, but it shows that these people at the restaurant went with their gut instinct. They knew something wasn't right, and they probably saved a child from an untimely death. Our hats off to everyone at the Mrs. Potato restaurant in Orlando, Florida. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. But before we get to our dumb criminal contestant of the day, let's do a quick recap of our contestants throughout the week. First, do you remember Joseph Prochaska? That's right. He's the gentleman that was using his airboat to drive around the neighborhood, shooting off fireworks, causing a disturbance by knocking over trash cans. Then we had Nathan Rock, who didn't become a dumb criminal, but we liked his attitude. He basically said, hey, Led Zeppelin has got to be played loud. The police officer agreed and gave him a warning. Then we had Scott Massa. He's the Florida man who tried to burn down a home, but somehow only managed to ignite himself and is still in the hospital for burns all over his body. And who can forget the two yesterday, Asim Hiltz and Sharif Frazier, who managed to leave at least $10,000 worth of drugs in their rental car. Maybe they were just a little too high to remember. Well, when they came back, the drugs had already been discovered and the police were waiting there for them. Now, let's take a look at this guy. You know, we've all seen a picture of this guy, have we not? Well, we all know now that his name is William Wright Watson. He's recently been arrested. Why, you may say? Oh, that's right. He stormed the Capitol in Washington, D.C. Well, it turns out Mr. Watson has got some more trouble. Apparently, he had a case this past July where he was arrested after a search warrant was executed on his residence, where they found several pounds of marijuana and 4 grams of LSD. Oh, and to complicate things, what have we always said? Firearms complicate everything. That's right, he had a firearm in his possession. Well, he was released on bond on that particular case. And one of the things you have to do when you are on bond, you have to ask permission to travel. That's right. Mr. Watson failed to do that. And guess what? When you're on bond, you want to fly low under the radar. When you have a case pending, you want to fly under the radar. You certainly don't want to pick up a new case when you're on bond and you have a case pending. Kind of like Mr. Rittenhouse that we discussed yesterday. Fly low. Don't get in any trouble. Certainly don't want to be on the front page every newspaper article across the country, as well as every TV screen when they see you storming the Capitol. So, Mr. Watson, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the week. Had you simply followed your bond instructions to stay home, you wouldn't have the additional trouble you now have coming your way. And I bet you wish you had stayed in Alabama. Mr. Watson, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. And if you are crowned the dumb criminal contestant winner of the week, that's right, we will ship you some Crime Talk merchandise, probably this mug. And if you would like your own mug without having to become a dumb criminal, hit the link below to Teespring and you can order all your Crime Talk merchandise. Now, vote below. Leave your comment below as to the dumb criminal contestant. We will announce the winner next week. That's all we have for you today. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll have the Crime Talk weekly recap for all of the big stories of the day wrapped up in one nice video in case you missed anything. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next week on Crime Talk.